Hi, this is Kyle Higgins, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
You are now on the inside of what I like to call the Circle of Trust. We are all connected in the great circle of life.
You know something, Bert?
What?
I think you and I are going in circles.
It feels like we're going in circles.
The circle is now complete. When I left you, I was but the learner. Now I am the master.
Because it's a circle.
Yeah, we heard about the circle.
Yes, we're familiar with shapes.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 138. This is Greg.
This is Dan, and we are Talking in Circles, brought to you by GeekCast Radio Network. Today, we are discussing the world of comics in all shapes and sizes, from television shows to actual comics to Netflix trailers. We have the Defenders talk, we have the Button talk, and we even have some Secret Empire waiting for you. But before
we have the Birds and the Bees talk.
We do have the Birds and the Bees talk, yeah. It's about time. It's already up to 138. We've been around for a few years, so it's time we got to it. But
it's going to be a very awkward conversation.
It really is. It really is. So kick. But yeah, it's going to be awkward, but fun. That's
there you go.
How things go here. But before we get to all that, how's things been going with you, Greg?
Pretty good. Pretty good. I've been kind of getting into things a little bit earlier than I should with my original art comic buying. I haven't really gotten to a con, but I've really gotten the bug. Again, I'm not sure if I shared that I've gotten a couple of pages from Jonah Schoonface, and then I've just gotten another today, so I'm up to a total of 5 pages from him. If you don't know who that is, he is the artist on God Shaper. He does that with Simon Spurrier. If you haven't read that, I highly recommend checking that out. And then I also picked up,
who puts that out?
That is put out by Boom Studios.
Okay.
It's very cool. It's you don't see a lot of new original stuff coming from Boom, if you ask me. It's mostly like Power Rangers kind of stuff, which is the Power Rangers stuff is really good. But I just kind of picked that one up on a whim for the most part, and it was a really really good read. The artwork's pretty damn cool, and Jonas is selling his artwork for freaking pretty damn cheap, if you ask me. So I definitely say go out there and pick something up from him. I believe it's like $40 for the first page that you buy, and then $30 for each page afterwards. So that's pretty damn cheap in the art world, if you ask me. So I definitely say pick something up and support artists and stuff like that. And he's a really nice guy, so it seems, from my communications with him. But then I've also picked up another piece through Felix comic art site. I picked up a piece that I didn't get yet because I just seriously put in a request for it. But I'm looking forward to seeing it in person. And it's a piece of artwork from Paper Girls, issue number 12. I think the page number is either 8 or 9. It's the page in issue 12 where there's a written across it, Haru! Like some kind of creatures, like how cool and interesting that I'm really into. So, and I also like Cliff Chiang's artwork. So that was definitely a must pick up kind of thing. And that went on sale a couple days ago. I think it was Tuesday, actually. And pieces were going like left and right, and I was like trying to look through them. But apparently I should have looked through the issue before I got there and had in mind which page I wanted and been prepared. But no, I was looking through at the moment, and so it was kind of like, oh my God, that one went away now. What's a backup one? This one's kind of cool. Oh crap, that one went away kind of situation. it was a bit of a panic.
Hot potato. It's like whack-a-mole, but you know.
Yeah. And I kind of forgot about it, and I've not been busy at work, but this week I've been really busy, so that's like the time that the pages came out. So I kind of forgot about this whole thing for like 15 minutes. So I was surprised I actually got something, but it was a bit chaotic. But how's your week been going, Dan?
Well, not nearly as busy as you. I have kind of gotten back into comics, but a different way. I've been I realize I have not read some of the most classic comics of all time. I'm like, I really need to fix that. And my wife got me for my birthday a few months ago subscription to Marvel Unlimited, and I've been using that to catch up on a lot. I started with X-Men number 1 and I've been going through. I'm actually up to like X-Men 119. I'm right getting into the Phoenix
wow.
saga.
That's yeah, impressive.
Well, the Dark Phoenix saga. Well, to be fair, like a good 40 of the comics are gone or not in Marvel Unlimited. I'm like, oh, why is that? But I guess
it's just like 40 of them are kind of like repeated.
Yeah, they refreshed old stories or we put out old stories. So they're it says 101, but it's really 40 less than that or so. But and I've been putting a lot of articles regarding that too. As of right now, I have an article on The Preacher. Also on Batman Long Halloween and some more coming up. One giant size X-Men talking about X-Men's coming out. I also Why the Last Man. We're going to the library a good lot, which is like my favorite place to go. And just this past weekend, I picked up Watchmen. I know I have not read Watchmen. I know that's sacrilegious. I apologize. That's why I'm trying to do this.
The Watchmen, but it gets driven down, I think, by all the pirate adventure thing kind of in the middle of it.
It's a super deluxe edition too, so there's a lot of like additional stuff I saw added as I was flipping through like notes and things, so I'm hoping like that doesn't like get in the way. Also Superman Red Sun and Ghost World I picked up, and I'm gonna read those. And I also signed up for, because when I do everything at once, that's the way I work, I signed up for a free trial of the comics-ology like Unlimited.
Yeah.
Which is actually, like, you know, if you're looking to get into comics, I would highly recommend that, especially if you have, like, an iPad or something like that, because their comic reader app is amazing. It's so much more fun to read comics that way, because it breaks it up panel by panel. It's, like, almost, it's very much like reading an action comic. You know, they have those, like, action comics. They did one for, like, Josh Whedon's run on X-Men, where it's, like, putting in...
Astonishing, sorry, I had whiskey in my mouth.
Yeah. It's similar to that because the way the panels move, it's great. Marvel Unlimited has something similar, but it's much better with Comixology. And Comixology actually has Marvel comics for the first time in part of the Unlimited package, along with a lot of Image, a lot of Boom, a lot of Valiant. There's a huge amount. I've been using that a little bit as well. So I've been kind of going back and forth. Like it's just there's this plethora of comics I've been trying to cram in as much as I can and find time for. So it's been good.
And yeah, especially sounds like a good run.
Yeah. I mean, I realized like instead of spending time watching like a okay movie, like why do I read something that's great that I haven't read yet? So that's what I'm trying to do. And or reading like half, like, you know, just a comic that's okay, just because I want to. I've been trying to just pick up on some stuff that it's really great that I just haven't experienced yet. So it's been fun. Kind of along those same lines, as we're talking about comics and things that are digital, Netflix just released their trailer for Defenders. It's finally out. Looks like it's coming out soon. We get to see a lot. It's actually a real trailer, I think. It's almost a couple minutes long. I know we were lukewarm at best regarding Iron Fist, like most, but does the Defenders trailer have you at all excited anywhere, in any chance you're your apprehension is any less with what's coming up?
The villainess that they have in there seems pretty cool because it's an actress we all kind of love from Ghostbusters. Daredevil, I've liked Daredevil, the series so far, so I'm hyped for seeing more of him. Danny Rand, I feel like, kind of takes a back seat in the trailer. And then Jessica Jones and... Luke Cage are kind of in the middle there, okay. But yeah, I'm not super hyped about it. I don't know. It was just didn't seem quite that enthralling to me. It looked okay, and I really don't know what it was that just makes it okay to me. But it doesn't seem like something I'm super hyped about, especially after last seeing Iron Fist. Yeah. And how like mediocre that was and everything. But the villainess, who's being played by, I believe, Susan Sarandon, Sigourney Weaver. I always get those two messed up for some reason. The differences in their face is just the name for some reason. But that definitely has me hyped up. The rest of it seems okay. I like the scene in the jail cell where Jessica Jones is talking to Misty Knight, and then Daredevil walks in. I'm Matt Murdock. I'm your attorney. You should really shut your mouth, Miss Jones. I thought that was kind of cool. But the rest of it was just kind of okay to me. So I'm interested more in hearing what you have to think about it, Dan, and maybe you could change my mind on some stuff.
Well, something that I am excited about, I am excited to see how these characters interact. I do feel like Danny Rand fits so much better within a group like this than he does by himself. And I think it's going to be interesting seeing him play off Luke Cage. And I think there's a good opportunity there that really kind of resurrect his character, basically, with that relationship with Luke Cage, and maybe kind of spear off and do the Heroes for Hire or something like that going forward. Some of the action does look good. Of course, there's a hallway fight, because that's the rule when it comes to these Netflix series. And the one that we do get a glimpse of does look like it's fun. I'm liking that, you know, we'll get a mixture of, you know, the martial arts and some of the more powerful, like superpower action with Luke Cage and things like that. So I think the thing is, like, these characters are almost, their stories, except for Iron Fist, are so great by themselves that maybe together you the apprehension is because you're like, I don't know if these characters really work with other people. I mean, Daredevil typically isn't on teams in the comics. Jessica Jones is, her best stories are typically by herself. Luke Cage and Iron Fist, I mean, they're a little bit different. They've had it both ways. Luke Cage was great in New Avengers, but maybe that's the reason why. We also don't get a lot of what the villain's going to be. I mean, yeah, we have Sigourney Weaver, but I don't know, like, what about her would make me feel like, oh no, this is something only the Defenders can defeat, but there's still a lot to be said. She's a great actress, but I feel like the last few years she's kind of just taken kind of roles where she can get by just based upon the fact that she's Sigourney Weaver. I haven't seen her, and maybe I just haven't, there's stuff out there I haven't experienced.
But... Oh, definitely her Ghostbusters role.
Well, yeah. It's just like, you know, I haven't seen her put out a great performance, so that has me a little apprehensive. And I don't think the trailer was, like, amazing. It didn't seem as cinematic as, like, the Daredevil show, or it seemed a little more bland. Like, I think, as we talked about, each Netflix series had its own personality, its own type of style, where now they're kind of all together, and it's just a meshing of them, but not really. As far as the trailer goes, it may be different when we actually get the actual show, and maybe they can be a little more clever with how they handled all that. So I'm excited. I'm still a little worried. I think if Iron Fist was amazing, I probably would be so much more excited, but we'll see. I mean, I think it's good that the people who are doing this are the ones who did Daredevil Season 2, and I like Daredevil Season 2 a lot.
Yeah.
So that has me excited. I'm a little disappointed that Punisher is not in it either, so that stings, but...
Do we know that for a fact, or is that...
Well, I don't know for a fact, because Kingpin wasn't supposed to be in Daredevil Season 2, and that ended up happening.
Oh, but, love that.
But from everything I've read online, he's not supposed to, but, like, you know, you never know how that's actually going to play out. I'm hoping we get some really cool villains from, like, if it's The Hand, like, maybe Bullseye shows up, but who knows. So the other thing that we talked about comics and all shapes and sizes, and this is kind of a comic. It was a comic, and I think it also, but it started as a book. But it's from a Memphis comic writer, Neil Gaiman, and that's the show American Gods. And its first episode debuted the week that we're recording this. And you haven't got a chance to watch the first episode of American Gods, right?
No, I did read. I think it's we're up to the first two issues of the comic, and that's been pretty good. Except the only thing that's kind of a drawback for me personally is I really don't remember what the hell happened in American Gods, the novel. So I seriously need to go back again and read that, because I'm very quite confused. Everything is still very good with the comic itself. And I'm still really would like to see the TV show. But you know me and TV shows, I really need it to be on Netflix. So well, I could just watch it when I want to.
Do you have Stars?
I think we had like a little trial for a little bit, but that was it. Yeah, I don't have stars. That's also a drawback.
Okay, so we have it through our Prime thing, so that's luckily we can watch it whenever.
You have it through Optimus Prime?
I do, yeah.
Do you watch it like a TV screen comes up on his chest or something?
Yeah, actually, and it's
really awesome.
Yeah,
I bet he talks a lot through the show, though.
No, actually, right now he's frozen, but there's a good chance, apparently, based upon the movie coming out, he's actually going to turn evil and fight against us. So we're keeping an eye out for that, just in case it happens. But I would say, though, like, this does seem like a show. It may make make sense just to wait on it and let it all and watch it, like, binge it, because it's the first episode was there's some amazing things that were happening. Did I fully understand everything that was happening? No way in hell that is the case. Like, I would think reading the novel would be very helpful, maybe fill in the lines for a lot of stuff. So, like, the premise of it is there's this guy who's in jail and he's about to get out, and as he's getting out, the day before, he discovers his wife is dead. And you know, it ends up like him trying to go home for a funeral, and along the way, basically everything bad that happened could, like, he can't get on his flight. And
okay, this sounds a lot like the comic.
Yeah, when he's on the flight, though, like, there's a guy that comes to him and is like trying to get him to have a job. He's trying to give him his job, and he's kind of cryptic about it. And there's a lot of amazing imagery. Some of the special effects are questionable, but it's a TV budget, so I can kind of let that go. I think the concept works, even if like, you know, it's not rendered amazingly well. I think watching the trailer beforehand helped me out, because I can kind of, I know, you know, the fact that the one character is a god and what the premise is, because the first episode doesn't give you any of that. Like, all these kind of characters show up and you're given nothing. Like, it's like you're just trying to figure things out. Like, my wife, who was watching it blind, was super confused. She's like, I like it, but I just have no idea what's really happening. And so that's why I think it might make sense to kind of watch it in bunches to help answer some of those questions as you go along. It's only one episode, but I'm enthralled by it. The performances are really good. There's some one of the, I don't know if this is in the comic, but one of the strangest, like, is this really happening moments I've ever seen in television. Like, I'm like, that is, let's just say it involves a sex scene and things go unexpected direction. And
okay, yeah, I know that sex scene.
Yeah, so I'm like, wow, she looks like, is she getting big? Yeah, that's and well, and my wife's looking at me like, what are you having me watch? Yeah, I'm like,
but, Dan, is this porn again?
I would recommend it to some. I mean, I think if you're a Neil Gaiman fan, that you'll probably like it a lot, and especially from what I've heard, it's been faithful to the book. I don't know, so there's that. The other thing I've been reading, comic book wise, and we'll talk about the button, but this is one you haven't had the chance to read, and that's Secret Empire.
It's not that I haven't had the chance to read it. It's just that I'm so iffy on it and Marvel and their special events anymore. And
yeah,
I'm not a huge fan of the premise on this one. So I was kind of just like, I'm just going to save some money and just go with the graphic novel. I'm going to go the Chuck route here.
And I understand that. I'm the same way. Like, I'm like, do we really need another? I think I talked about the first episode, the first issue of Captain America when they relaunched it. And, you know, the whole Hail Hydra controversy and everything that came from it. I called it then. I'm like, it's because of the Cosmic Cube. And, you know, it was just that. I will say, like, what was the one? Civil War 2 was pointless and not very good. The first two issues, issue 0, and usually issue 0s are pointless. You have to read issue 0 because it's really should be issue 1. A lot happens in issue 0. It sets up pretty much everything, and there's a lot of big key events. Often it's just kind of a generalization issue that kind of covers everything that's happened up to that point to get you ready for issue 1. It doesn't really do that at all. It just from the get-go and launches you right into it. And I've actually really liked both issue 0 and issue 1. I really like where it's going. I was iffy on the premise a little bit, but I'm actually really liking it because Captain America is my favorite character. You know, Winter Soldier is one of the things that got me back in the comics. I've loved a lot of his stories. He's a character that, you know, I've adored for forever now. But I really like the idea they're taking with him. And I think it's Nick Spencer is taking the idea of when you symbolize a person or individual and what can happen when that symbol betrays you. They're basically put in a situation where they betray their own values in order to try to save themselves. And the repercussions of that come. And by issue one, Hydra is basically ruling the world, well, at least the United States. And, you know, most of the heroes are now underground. And what it does is it takes, I talked about how I got Superman Red Son, it takes the idea of Superman Red Son and says, what if we do that in the regular universe? And I think that's kind of a gutsy move. And it's one of the first times I've read a Marvel event, and I don't know really where it's going or what's going to happen next. You know, Civil War II, I'm like, okay, this is what's going to happen, and we know the outcome. And this, I don't know how they're going to fix it, per se. You know,
part if of me it thinks, was written by Bendis, it would just end in a huge all-out battle, and that's it.
Yeah, maybe. I thought at first, it's, okay, they're just going to get the Cosmic Cube, set it back, and reset it. Nick Spencer said that's not going to be the way he does it. I kind of wonder if it'll tie into Secret Wars with Reed Richards, who's been out of the picture since then, if he'll play a role. That's just my inclination, since they kind of reset. They didn't really reset the universe, but they kind of did. But I don't know. I would recommend it. I don't necessarily think you have to go out and buy it. I think waiting for the trade is fine. I will say, though, if you're suffering from event fatigue, that makes a lot of sense. But I think this is legit good. Like, I think it's like, it may have been better if it's just within the Captain America comic. But also, Steve McNiven art, which is always amazing.
Yes. Yeah,
that's worth the price of admission there. And he's given a really good story, too. I think it's legitimately I like Secret Wars a lot, but this one I feel a little bit more invested in because Secret Wars was like, there was no stakes in it because everything was just going to be reset to a new thing by the end. This one feels like it has those. It's, to me, the most invested I've been in an event story like this since Civil War. And that's saying a lot because I bought nearly like every issue that had Civil War when it came out.
No.
I'm not doing that now, mostly because I've grown up and realized
the once bitten, twice shy.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely, I know there's a lot of controversy behind it and everything like that. I don't really care about that. I just, you know, I like the comic and it's enjoyable. And I like Nick Spencer's writing. You know, I loved his Ant-Man run. I love The Fix. I haven't really liked the Captain America comic that much, but I stopped reading it. I heard it got really good in the last like few months, but I haven't read it. But this has been, I think, a move in the right direction for Marvel, at least in my eyes. But the comic you have been able to read.
Yes, and wanted to read, and really interested to read, is The Button. Being put out there by DC, and it's not like a huge crossover event. It's more of a team up between the Flash and Batman, and it's about this button that's kind of been put into their universe from a DC parallel kind of universe, a different universe that we all know of. The Watchmen, it's the comedian's button with the little happy face and the blood splatter on it. And it's really cool. There's no really big Watchmen influence in it other than the layout through almost all of the pages where it's a 9-panel page, which worked really well with the first issue, I thought, and the fight between Ithabod, I can never say his name right.
Reverse Flash.
Yeah, Reverse Flash and Batman. I thought that was really cool. It was just a really interesting story, and visually it was really great. And Batman is just getting the shit kicked out of him, which you rarely ever see. And you really don't get your questions answered in the first issue. It's more like Batman just gets the shit beat out of him. And then Flash finally shows up. And then the second book is kind of about the dynamic between Flash and Batman. And I don't remember if they did 9-panel pages for the second issue or not. That really didn't stand out to me in this one. But this one gives kind of the relationship between Batman and Flash, gives you background of what's kind of going on and kind of how they're going to go forward into it. So I don't think the second issue was quite as cool. It was as interesting to see Batman and the Flash travel, and Batman's is still trying to cover because it was super recent that he got the crap kicked out of him by Reverse Flash. It was probably like even within the same day. He's trying to go out and be heroic and help the Flash. But the implications of everything going on with the mix of Flashpoint mixed with Watchmen is really cool and still got me intrigued. And I believe it's only a 4-issue run. Is that correct, Dan?
Yeah, 4 issues. And
yeah.
Yeah, 2 issues of Flash and 2 issues of
Batman. Wrote all that they need to cover. Yeah, and so I find it really intriguing that they're going to just cover it in that. Usually these kind of special events are very bloated with the amount of characters that they have in them and the length of the story, where they could have just done it in like 2 or 3 issues. They do in like 6 or 7 or even 8. But this one, I feel like this big story, but they're fit it into a nice little bundle. And so far in the first 2 issues still has me intrigued and going along with it. I don't remember who does the art, but the art is very well done. And yeah, I'm loving it so far. And I really enjoy the lenticular covers. Those are always intriguing to me. I'm like, how do they do these? This is so cool. But yeah, I'm definitely interested in hearing what you have to say about it, Dan.
So you have not read Batman 22?
I did. I'm reading Batman 22, Batman Detective Comics.
Well, that was the third part of the button.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't get there yet. No, I think I just got it today.
Okay.
Didn't it come out this Wednesday or something?
Yeah, it just came out. Recording yesterday.
Yeah. So it's in the bag. I just didn't get to read it. I was taking a nap, people.
No, that's okay.
I nap a lot. I don't know what it is. If you're a doctor and know why I nap a lot, please tell me. I would like to know.
Vitamin D, I think, is the answer.
I'm taking multivitamins, though. I got like 100% vitamin D.
Yeah. So it's interesting because when I was talking about catching up with classic comics, one of the things I was reading, too, was Crisis on Infinite Earths. If I've never read that before. And it does seem like this button story does tie into that a little bit, as you see them, the Flash going through different universes as he's trying to go back in time, basically, because that's what the Flash does. And he sees some flashbacks to different events occurring, which some of all occurred during a Crisis of Infinite Earths. So I do wonder, like, if this, I feel like this is the beginning of something that's going to be much larger, obviously, because we have one issue left and not everything solved. And there's still this mysterious energy or presence or something that is pulling all these different events happening, causing everything to occur. The thing that took away 10 years, as they said, and it does seem though with the Flash issue that it may even go way back to kind of connecting all the continuity. You know, DC used to have a thing where, you know, every 10-15 years they would reset their continuity. So I wonder if this is going to say, well, no, we never really reset it. It all still is. It's all connected in some way. So we'll see about that. But I thought it started off amazing with the first Batman issue with 21, like you mentioned, with the countdown clock of seconds. And that was just Tom King always is able to do something really small and simple like that. It's always brilliant. And, you know, you just see him getting beat up and bit by bit. And set up perfectly, too, because the opening of it is this it's a Gotham girl. I couldn't tell who it was, but saying they're going to kill him. This is when they kill him.
Yeah, I didn't really know who that was either. To be quite honest, I was also thinking Gotham girl, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah, and then there's a hockey game corresponding with what's happening with Reverse Flash and Batman. And the reason it's counting down is because Batman knows that Flash is going to be coming in a minute or 10 minutes or something like that. 10 minutes. And he's just waiting for him to come, and he's trying to buy time. And I know people have an issue if Batman ever gets punched or if, like, anything bad happens to him. They're like, no, he could beat up anyone. But if you think about it, I'm fighting against someone who can travel the speed of light. you're not going to really have much of a shot.
I wish he still would have gotten, like, a lick or two in, like, some kind of little trickery kind of thing.
He did stab him in the foot.
He
did that, yeah. So, I thought the Flash issue felt a little bit more of a filler issue compared to what came before. We got mm-hmm. a little bit of a, what was happening from Flash, and it didn't really push the story forward all that much. It kind of just, until the end, and it leaves you off in a really good spot. And I don't want to ruin it for you, but Batman 22, I legitimately think is one of the best comics I've read in a very long time.
Very much looking forward to reading it now.
And you kind of know where it's going based upon the ending of the Flash and how a different Batman comes into play. But if you think about the ramifications of what's occurring, you know, you have, and spoiler alert for who has not read the button, if you haven't, Thomas Wayne appears in the last issue of Flash. And it's Thomas Wayne from Flashpoint, where he was Batman and where he was alive and Bruce was killed. And just how that plays out in the next issue, I thought was brilliant, and on every level, because you think about, you know, that's the first time that's happened in comics for the character of Batman, where he's actually been able to talk to his parents or to his father, and you think about how long that character has been around, that's pretty stinking incredible. So they understood that responsibility and didn't just make a gimmick, but actually made something important out of it. So I'm really excited to where it's going. Like you said, it's not like a huge event story. It really just, it's a prologue, really, to what's probably going to be the bigger event coming down the line. But by itself, it's still just a really effective, well-told, well-paced. And it kind of stinks that Flash got pushed back a week, so it's not coming out next week, the week after.
But, yeah, that's also very cool that they've even though this one's getting pushed back, that they've it's just been like 1 week, next week. Now skip a week, and the fact that they're able to get it out, so you're not super trying to remember what happened last time with like a month in between and everything, kind of like how far the Marvel events go in between issues, and you're like, okay, what happened with the last one, and trying to figure things out, and then having to read the summary. This one, you feel a little bit more connected with what happened last, and it makes the story feel a little bit more complete, I guess you would say, connected. But it just makes the storytelling better, the fact that it's coming out so close together and everything. And I'm assuming it's like some kind of issue with somebody didn't get the artwork done quite on time or something.
I heard some rumors that it was like an issue with the printer.
That kind of stuff is understandable with the delay. But when they're purposely trying to drag it out, it gets quite tedious, and I like the fact that they're actually pushing it out 1 week after another for the most part.
We considered Civil War II ended like 6 months after we were supposed to, or something like that.
That's just outrageous.
Yeah. When it was like when comics were coming out that took place after it and wasn't even over yet, then you kind of run into some problems. So, but yeah, highly recommended if you're a Batman or DC fan. I would say, like, before you read this, if you've not read DC Rebirth, that issue, do that, because it basically picks up right after that issue, or the events of that are what this is built off of. Mm-hmm. So that's, I think, essential in reading this. And I think that's, that's a good story by itself as well. So that's, that's a little bit of a shorter episode. Do you have anything else you wanted to talk about before we bring this episode to a close?
I can't wait to see Guardians of the Galaxy. We're recording this on Thursday the 4th. I'm supposed to be going with Chuck tomorrow to go see it, so I can't wait to go see that. I'm assuming you're going some point soon as well.
Yeah, that's my goal, to hopefully see it sometime this weekend. I don't know for sure if that's the case, but that's my hope. And we will have an episode where we talk about that, I think, with Chuck being on, to review. And I know we're both big fans of the first one.
Yes,
definitely. So definitely excited for that coming out. I saw that they relaunched, because that's the way they do. They had new Guardians comics come out this week as well.
I saw them on display. I just really didn't have an urge to really pick any of them up. I don't know why. It just was like, eh, okay.
Are you partaking in Free Comic Book Day this year?
No, I'm not a huge fan of Free Comic Book Day. I like the fact that they're giving out free comics and everything like that. I just don't like the fact that the store I go to is so jam-packed. It gets a little claustrophobic for me, so I'm not a big fan of going on Free Comic Book Day. I kind of went to the store today to kind of avoid it on Saturday, and usually I go on Friday, but tomorrow I have a haircut and stuff, and so it just didn't work out, but I usually make up on Saturday, and with Free Comic Book Day going on, I'm like, not going then. It's a little too hectic for me.
I might try to. Unfortunately, we have friends coming down that day. So what I feel kind of stupid because I didn't realize, and if you are going to Free Comic Book Day, don't just get the free comics. Spend some money at the actual retailers, because retailers actually have to pay for those free comics.
Yes, they do.
And so it's kind of – it's, you know, it's a little bit of
you may not shitty for that. Them, but it's
– yeah. The hope is that people go and they'll get those comics, and they spend a lot less on them than they would a normal comic, I would think. But, you know, if you and there's actually been a lot of good stuff that you can go to different not every store has the same thing, but Marvel's putting out some legit comics this year. There's supposed to be a Secret Wars tie-in that's actually like a real issue, and a Spectacular Spider-Man intro into the series that's coming up. I really want to get the Image comic. It's called I Hate Image, and it's done by Scotty Young with the character, what's her name, Gwen?
Sorry, I was taking another drink of whiskey. Coming up with a blank right now, and I read that comic, and I love it so much.
Something Gwen or something.
Yeah, like it starts with a G. I'm just not remembering it at this point. But yeah, but I hate Fairyland character with the green hair and the pink dress. And
the premise of the comic is that she basically goes around the world of different Image comics and kills everybody. Like, you know, the Punisher kills the Marvel Universe. It's similar to that, but she's going to like Saga and Black Science and all these different universes within the Image comic, which to me just sounds amazing.
Yeah, that sounds really cool.
I just would love to see what the Saga universe looks like in Scotty Young's mind. So,
yeah, that should be really interesting.
And it's a free comic too, so that has me excited. I do want to pick that up.
That does sound pretty sweet. I like it when they make something like that kind of really special and kind of weird.
Yeah, it seems like there's some good stuff coming out. I don't know what DC's doing, if they're doing anything specific, but there's some good stuff out there, and I think some of them do become available through Comixology and some of those apps too. But yeah, it's a good time. I love this weekend. I feel like this is becoming like a mini holiday weekend for comics, because there's always a Marvel movie coming out the first week of May. It's Free Comic Book Day. Often, like, some of the biggest comic book stories start or around this time, you know, Secret Empire, The Button. So and last year it was even Civil War II, which wasn't great, but we had DC Rebirth. So it's like this time has become like the mecca of comic book time, and it's really cool. And it's also my son's birthday, so it's like I didn't plan it that way, but it's working out, you know. Like when he was born, the movie we saw before was Avengers Age of Ultron. You know, last year it was what came out this around this time. Civil War, I believe, maybe. I could be wrong.
I think so.
I don't know. Yes, it was, because I saw that with you guys when he came home for his birthday.
Okay. Question, the comic book stores also for Free Comic Book Day bring in creators and stuff. I was just wondering if there was any like creators going to be at any of the stores around you or anything really cool like that.
I don't know. I haven't looked into it, to be honest with you.
Damn it, Dan!
I know. I should have done my own work. Yeah. So, how about you? Is Comics on the Green having anyone?
Yeah. They're having a local comic book artist who the owner of the store is really good friends with, Tom Dernick. Hope I'm saying his last name right. He does a lot of stuff for DC Comics. He used to do a lot for Marvel, but I think he's kind of switched over to doing a lot of stuff for DC at this point. He's drawn a lot of stuff for Injustice 2. Yeah, or just plain injustice, I think, as well. But he does kind of stuff here and there, and he shows up at a lot of local events, so I believe he's going to be there. And then they always have some pretty decent sales, more discounts on other stuff around. So it's kind of like you're going for free comics, might as well pick something else up while you're there since the prices are so good kind of situation. And I'm assuming it's like a lot of parents taking their kids to get some free comic books and then maybe throwing something else in there for them too. But yeah, for like I said before, for me, it's just too swamped. It's not like we have a huge store around here. It's small. Even when there's like 5 or 6 people in the store, that seems pretty crowded to me. So having it jam packed like it is for Free Comic Book Day, and like you have to struggle to get it anywhere, it's just too much for me.
Yeah. It's good to see for the source, because I think comic industry is tough because they have a lot of competition. But I think it's important, and but it's also important to go when it's not that day. And that's a benefit. Like, you know, if you don't go on Free Comic Book Day, if you go another day, at least you're still supporting the store. But I have not gone to Free Comic Book Day in some time. I kind of want to go because I've heard there's a Juggernaut HeroClix, even though I've kind of stopped collecting HeroClix. The fact that it's like a specific free one has me intrigued.
But yeah, there's also a special Funko Dorbs character out on Free Comic Book Day. They also did it last year too, I believe.
Yeah. Because Funko needs more people to buy them. I saw a post. There was a post from the Comics on the Green, which is the comic book store that, in Scranton, that we've ventured to many times, and it was all the different pops they had for sale. I'm like, I think Greg has more. I'm pretty sure Greg has more.
I'm actually selling one currently on eBay.
Really? Which one?
I have a Baloo from the Jungle Book, and I have like a list of 17 other ones that I'll be trying to sell. If you're interested, my eBay name is Nerdling2012. So, nice. So far, Baloo is going for $50.
Wow, was that like an exclusive one, or is it just hard to find?
It's retired at this point. It's an older one, and there's not that many of it out there, and people want them. So he's up there in value. I've heard of him going for like $70 or something like that. So I started him off at $50 with free shipping, and so far I have one bid, and then I have like 6 people watching it. So hopefully there's a nice little bidding war. I have a pile here of like 17 other ones, and once I sell those, I'll get another list together of other ones I want to sell. But then I also picked up 2 pops today at the comic book store. So.
You're selling pops just to upgrade them to new ones.
Yeah, that, and also I'm trying to sell them so I could kind of get my little bit more money for the trip to Boston that I'm gonna make for the Boston Comic Con, and also for more artwork and stuff.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Cool. All right. Well, yeah. So a lot of comic related stuff this week, and of course, because it's like I said, it's that time of year. It's I think maybe we will need to refer to this as the most wonderful time of year. But it's just, what do you have to say about some of the stuff we talked about? Did you think of the Defenders trailer? Are you back on board? Yeah, we didn't talk about it, but they just released an image for the Inhumans TV show that looks awful. Like, when I saw it, I'm like, they belong on Once Upon a Time. Like, that's like that. It looks like they're characters from that show. It just looks bad. Makes me so worried, because I thought that show would have potential. Are you also worried about that? Did you like The Button? Have you been reading that? What are your thoughts on Secret Empire? Did you see American Gods? Were you as confused as I was? Did you enjoy it? Are you waiting, like Greg, just to binge it all? So, a lot of things to talk about. You can do so by emailing us at feedback@geekcastradio.com, commenting on the episode post at Geekcast Radio. We're also on Twitter. Greg, what's your Twitter name?
I am at The Create Forge, and if you want to get in contact with Chuck, he is at Heroic Age Chuck.
And I am at Movie Revolt, but that'll be it for this week. We'll be back next week. Same time, same channel. But for now,
this has been Greg, or May the 4th be with you.
And this has been Dan, and we've been talking in circles. See you next time.
Had to get that Star Wars reference in.
How did that thing suddenly, like, someone had like a pun joke and suddenly now it's like a thing that
But like everything seems to be a day anymore. I remember the week before, my boss coming into my office going, "Oh, it's National Pretzel Day." I'm like, why do we need more days? Like, why do we need more holidays for things? Like, especially for something kind of so, like, not lame, because I love pretzels, but, like, lame like that. Like,
so, you mean Stanley loves his pretzels? Is that where it comes from?
It's from The Fix, the Pretzels the Dog.
Nice. See, we'd celebrate a day for that dog.
Oh, that dog is so awesome. I love The Fix dog.